Thanks for the introduction. Hi, everyone. I am Eileen, and today I'll be talking about de-anonymizing programmers based on their coding style. At the end of this talk, we will be able to see that style that's expressed in source code can be quantified and also characterized. Stylistic fingerprints have been widely studied before. Stylometry, the study of style, has been applied to, for example, fine art. In the case of fine art, style is studied by, for example, the colors or the brush strokes, and it has also been applied to music with the harmony, rhythm, melody, but it's most commonly been applied to written language, and we have applied it to unconventional text in the past, such as text that has some product information and a mixture of languages. We have also applied it to translated text, but today we will be talking about source code stylometry. With source code stylometry, we have the intuition that everyone learns coding on an individual basis, and as a result, everyone codes in a unique way, and this makes programmers de-anonymizable. But besides being able to de-anonymize programmers with coding style, we can also gain some software engineering insights by looking at coding style. For example, we can analyze how programmer style changes when programmers are implementing sophisticated functionality. Or we can look at the differences in coding styles of programmers with different skill sets. We can also use this to identify malicious programmers. And when we think about source code stylometry, there are some common scenarios that come to mind. For example, for the first scenario, let's say that Alice, the analyst, is analyzing a library and she finds malicious source code. And Bob has a collection of source code with known authors. So Bob can search his collection to find out who Alice's adversary is, who the malicious source code programmer is. In another scenario, we can think about plagiarism, automated plagiarism detection. For this case, let's think that Alice got an extension to her programming assignment, and Bob, the teacher, wants to find out if she has plagiarized once she turns in her homework. So Bob has everyone else's programming assignment turned in from the class, and once Alice turns it in, he can automatically try to detect if there has been any plagiarism. Unfortunately, such security enhancing cases can also be privacy infringing, and de-anonymizing programmers might be quite dangerous. For example, Said Malekpour, an Iranian citizen, was sentenced to death by the Iranian government because he was identified as the web programmer of a porn site. But Said Malekpour says that his photo uploading software was used by the porn site without his knowledge. So there are things that we need to keep in mind when we are applying these methods. And people have tried to do source code authorship attribution in the past, and we see that there have been many attempts, but the data sets they used were smaller in magnitude and their accuracies were not as good as ours. At the same time, we are the first ones to use syntactic features incorporated from abstract syntax trees to represent coding style. For example, the highest accuracy reached in the past was 97%, and it was de-anonymizing only 30 authors. In our case, we can de-anonymize 250 programmers with 98% accuracy. And the largest data set used in the past had 46 authors, and they achieved 75% accuracy. But we can scale our approach up to 1,600 programmers, and we still get close to 94% accuracy. I would also like to mention that we are using less training data than these previous approaches, which makes the machine learning problem harder. And we also use less lines of code per training sample. For example, on average, we have 70 lines of code in one program file. When we think about source code stylometry, we can come up with machine learning classification tasks that apply to four main applications. We can use source code stylometry in software forensics when we are investigating a crime case, for example. Or it can be used to automatically detect stylometric plagiarism. And we can use this to investigate copyright disputes and aid in the investigation. We can also use it for authorship verification when someone claims that they have written a particular piece of source code. In order to test our approach, we came up with this main experimental setting. So, first of all, we needed a controlled data set where we can see different properties of the data set. So, we chose Google CodeJam as our main data set, and we collected source code from more than 100,000 users that were programming in C++. And Google CodeJam is an annual international competition which has contestants from all over the world with different backgrounds. Once we have our data set, we pre-process it with our fuzzy abstract syntax tree parser, which is called YARN, and we get the structure of the program. And after that, we extract lexical and layout features from the source code, and we extract syntactic features from the abstract syntax tree. And we feed these features into a random forest that has 300 trees in it. And these 300 trees do majority voting for the final classification step. To talk a little bit more about our data set, which was very important for the controlled experimental settings. First of all, Google CodeJam data became available online after 2008. So you can just download the correct submissions by the contestants online on Google's website. And all of these contestants are solving the same set of problems in a limited time. And as they advance to the other rounds, the problems start getting harder. So in this case, we can control for the difficulty of the problem, and we can also see how advanced the programmer is. We also observed that C++ was the most commonly used language in this competition. So in order to de-anonymize programmers, first of all, we need to come up with a very good way of representing their coding style. And for this, first of all, we extracted lexical features such as variable names or function names or comments from the source code. And we also extracted some layout features, which are about how spacing or tabs are being used. And these features have also been used in the past. But we pre-processed our source code to obtain the abstract syntax tree to represent the structure of the program, and we extracted syntactic features from the abstract syntax trees to represent coding style for the first time. And syntactic features are things like abstract syntax tree node bigrams, or term frequency inverse document frequencies, or the average depth of a node. And we especially chose random forest as our classifier because once you have enough number of trees, you can avoid overfitting. And at the same time, we know that random forests are multi-class classifiers by nature. And for example, if we had 9 code samples from one programmer, we did 9-fold cross-validation for our classification step. We also wanted to validate our method, so we tested the approach on a different data set, and surprisingly, we got even better results on the validation set. Now, I would like to talk about some examples and interesting cases where we can apply code stylometry. I would like to stress that we set up controlled experiments on the Google CodeJam data set that correspond to interesting applications. And the main case is authorship attribution, which is trying to answer who is this anonymous programmer or who has this anonymous source code sample being written by. And in this case, this anonymous programmer can also be Satoshi Nakamoto, Bitcoin's founder. In order to test this, we took 1,600 programmers from Google CodeJam dataset and we took 9 files for each programmer, and we trained a classifier, and we were able to correctly identify these 14,400 anonymous program files with 94% accuracy. And for the case of Satoshi Nakamoto, if we wanted to find out who Satoshi is, we could find the suspect set who might be Satoshi Nakamoto, and then we train on the code samples from the suspect set, and after that, we take Bitcoin's initial version source code, and then we test to see who Satoshi Nakamoto's coding style most likely is from the suspect set. But there are a number of problems in performing this experiment besides trying to de-anonymize Satoshi Nakamoto. First of all, there is no public code available for Nick Szabo, who is speculated to be Satoshi Nakamoto. In the second case, we will look at obfuscation. What if a programmer tries to hide his coding style by obfuscating his source code? Programmers obfuscate code to make it unrecognizable, and we saw that our authorship attribution technique is impervious to common off-the-shelf source code obfuscators that are open source or commercially available. One example is Stunix. We use this commercial obfuscator, obfuscate code, and try to see if our de-anonymization accuracy decreases. Stunix takes the code and after that refactors all user input, strips spaces, and removes comments. But the structure of the program remains unchanged. So the functionality also remains unchanged. But since the structure of the program is the same, this obfuscator or such common obfuscators are useless for anonymizing your source code. And we say that for this case, we took 20 authors, each with 9 files, and we can identify them with 99% accuracy, and we can also identify the obfuscated code with 99% accuracy. So we decided to use a more sophisticated obfuscator, which is called Tigress. It's a C visualizer. And given this short piece of source code, when we obfuscate it, let's say that we had 10 to 20 lines of source code to begin with. Once it's obfuscated with different types of visualization, we get close to 500 lines of code. And again, all the user input is refactored, comments are changed, spaces are stripped. At the same time, the structure of the program is also changed. Only the functionality at the end remains the same. In this case, our de-anonymization accuracy decreased. In the original case, with the original source code, we were able to identify 100 program files with 96% accuracy. But after the Tigress visualizer, we were able to identify the programmers with 67% accuracy. But again, 67% accuracy is much better than the random chance of correctly identifying these programmers, which is 5%. And this obfuscation method also comes with some disadvantages. For example, this code runs 9 times slower on average than the original code. And also, 9 times slower than the original code. And at the same time, if you wanted to contribute this to an open source repository, it won't be readable, and it will probably not be acceptable. So this shows that this obfuscation method is not a way to anonymize your coding style. In the third case, we wanted to see how coding style changes throughout years, because if coding style is persistent throughout years, we can take code from like different years, train and test on data from different years. And for this case, we found 25 programmers who had programming files solutions both in 2012 and 2014. So we trained on their data from 2012. We trained on 8 source code samples, and we tested on their data in 2014. And we were able to get 96% accuracy in correctly identifying these anonymous program files. When we took these programmers' data from 2014, tested and trained on 2014, we were getting 98% accuracy. But now, once we train on 2012 and test on 2014, we get 96% accuracy, which is lower than the within year accuracy. But given that 96% accuracy is quite high, this shows that coding style is persistent up to a degree throughout years. We also wanted to see how we can generalize our approach to especially the Python programming language in this case. And the goal here was to see how quickly we can do this if we were in need of different programming languages, source code anonymization tool. So for this case, we used only the syntactic equivalents of the syntactic features from the Python abstract syntax tree. And we were able to de-anonymize 229 Python programmers with 54% accuracy. When we did a top 5 relaxed classification on these 229 programmers, we get 76% accuracy. And here the top 5 relaxed classification refers to being able to identify the original author in the top 5 highest possible classes returned by the machine learning classifier. And when we wanted to de-anonymize 23 programmers, we get 88% accuracy. And with top 5 relaxed classification on 23 programmers, we get 99.5% accuracy. So we saw that we can quickly de-anonymize programmers in a different language. And if we wanted to improve our accuracy, we can add more features, add the lexical and layout features as well. And we will be able to increase our accuracy further. This is just a beginning for this project, and there is a lot of future work that remains to be done. First of all, we saw that obfuscation is not a countermeasure to de-anonymizing programmers, so we would like to look at how we can anonymize source code. We would also like to find out the multiple programmers present in code that has been written collaboratively. We can think about many open source projects that have been written by multiple authors. And we would also like to extend this approach to malware binary classification. Instead of focusing on the style in source code, we can try to identify style in binaries for classification purposes. And if you would like to use the code for this project, you can download it from my Git repository on GitHub. The link is here. At the same time, we have similar tools and projects that we have been working on. For example, we have JStylo. If you Google for JStylo, you can download it and play with it. And this is an authorship attribution framework. And we also have Anonymat, which is a tool that helps you anonymize your writing style. So you can also download this, and you can even help us improve these tools, which are all on Git. I would like to thank all my co-authors who always keep inspiring me. At the same time, I would like to thank the Army Research Laboratory for providing funding for this project. And I'm ready to take any questions now.
Thank you. We have time for a few questions.
Yu Jongsun from Penn State. It's a very interesting work. I have two questions. So first, many open source projects, they have requirements on coding styles. For example, like Linux kernel, in order to upstream your code to Linux kernel, they require your code to be comply with certain style. So then how well does your approach apply to this scenario if the coding style is, you know, it's a requirement for the project? Mm-hmm.
So I guess in that case, coding style will be normalized to the requirements of the project. And we haven't tested our approach on such a data set yet, but if we can get access to a data set like that, it would be great to see how our approach works on such environments.
Okay, thanks. So the second question is, so for code base like Linux kernel, right, the same file might be patched over and over and again, right? Mm-hmm. So in this case, can you still recognize the, you know, the original author, which part was actually modified by a different author?
Mm-hmm. So in this work, we only looked at single author classification. Every file in our test data has been implemented by one programmer. In future work, we will look into multiple authorship attribution. And we haven't tested our methods on code that has been modified that had different versions, because the Google Code Jam data is usually like there's a time window where you have to quickly implement your functionality, so there is not much time left for many revisions in our data set.
Okay, thanks.
Nicholas Christian, Carnegie Mellon. Great paper, great work. I wanted to know if you have any thoughts about how to filter out things like Stack Overflow snippets, which are things that mm-hmm. people use a lot, even in single authored code. I don't know how to implement that specific question. I ask a question on Stack Overflow, and then all of a sudden I've got like five or six lines from somebody else. I was wondering to which extent the robustness of your classifier was potentially jeopardized by, you know, smaller pieces of code. It's a slightly different question from the collaborative thing.
Again, that's a slightly different approach, as you said. Again, like you will probably need to look into multiple authorship attribution. And in our case, since they have a limited time window to implement their functionality, I'm not sure how much time they have to like go and check Google for like Stack Overflow copy paste. So that's why we use this data to eliminate such possibilities.
Okay. The reason I was asking is that it would be really cool for, you know, people who grade homework assignments in particular.
Yeah, we're working on that right now on the multiple authorship problem.
Hi, I'm Richard Shen from UC Berkeley. Thanks for the interesting presentation. So my question is about on Google Code Jam. My understanding is that all of the tasks actually have basically the same input format, and also that many competitive programmers will have a library of code that they just copy and paste into all their mm-hmm. solutions because it's common patterns that they use a lot. So have you considered the impact of how the different files by the same author might share code or share a lot of logic mm-hmm. compared to a different setting?
So are you saying that programmers are sharing code across like different programmers, or just one programmer's like code database where he keeps like reusing his previous
code? That the same programmer will copy and paste the same code into multiple different programs. Mm-hmm.
So for this, we performed Levenshtein distance experiments on our data set to see how different the code within and across authors is, and the results show that like the within author difference is substantial enough to show that they are not copy-pasting all the work.
Okay, thanks.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Hi, Kyle Saska, Carnegie Mellon. You showed that your classifier is actually quite robust against obfuscation methods that were not aware of your classifier. How do you think your classifier would fare against an adversarial learning attack where it's aware of your feature set, it's aware of this specific syntactic features you're looking for, the mm-hmm. variable names, things of that nature, and specifically tries to obfuscate the code in order to disrupt those features?
Yeah, in that case, it won't be obfuscation. It will probably be authorship anonymization, and that should work, especially if he knows all the features that we are using. He can normalize the features so that he doesn't look like any one of the authors, or he looks like a different author. That's possible.
Hi, good work. So One of the examples you gave earlier in the talk is there's a class assignment and you want to detect plagiarism, but that's a strictly simpler problem when you're in the situation that you just want to check if author A implementing the same assignment looks the same here or here,
mm-hmm.
right? Because you'll have the same author, you're checking if author A implements functionality X and author A implements functionality Y, can you mm-hmm. tell they're the same author? But in the one student copies off another student example, it's going to be author A implementing the same functionality twice. And I mean, I'm sure most of us use software to check that already. So that's a much simpler example.
Yeah, like based on coding style, as long as we can detect where coding style of a programmer is, we can see that that part has been written by a particular programmer, and we can chat about this in detail with some examples, I guess, offline.
Okay.
All right, let's thank Eileen again.